If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, as I'll be turning this morning, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We believe in God to minister. Touch with his anointing today. We want to welcome the Warren family with us today. We've got David Sr. and Jr. with us. Amen. Some of you that were in auditorium class met David Jr. He taught the class this morning. He is one of our ministers in the Church of God and a friend of mine. I've known him for many years. He's a retired police officer, but we won't hold that against him. Glory. But we have another retired police officer in the building. But we do appreciate them coming, being with us this morning, and I appreciate him teaching the class. Brother Lombard's gone to visit family, and that happens this time of the year. I don't know if y'all figured that out or not, but every week from now to August or September, there'll be people missing. I hate it, but it happens. And there'll be homecomings and decorations and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, I just noticed a while ago in my pocket something I brought with me in case the lights was out here at the church. So if you go to sleep, I'm going to... I said a while ago, felt something in my pocket, reached down, realized I had this stupid thing in there. I may point you out. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning. This is Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Anybody know what that means? Yes, sir. That's 50 days after the Passover. Amen. It is a celebration of first fruits. And we thank God that the outpouring of the Spirit took place at the ceremony that became known as Pentecost Sunday. Simply means 50th. Amen. And we are Pentecostals. I don't make apologies for that. I'm not Pentecostal because I was raised that way. I'm Pentecostal because I picked this book up, started digging in it, and found out there was something there I didn't have. And I went and got hungry for it, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know, I think it's amazing, but I got filled with the Holy Ghost in 1974 at a little place called Cody, Alabama. Those of you where that's in the Belt community in Fayette County in the middle of nowhere. Literally. You go down from Fayette till you get to the Georgia Pacific factory in Belt, and you turn right, go out in the woods, and the church is about halfway to Crossville up that back road. Amen. And it's just a brick church in the middle of nowhere. I went there that night. God filled me with the Holy Ghost. And guess where I was preaching tonight? I got the phone call that I got the vote to become pastor of Alabaster. I was standing in front of the Cody Church of God at the only place my cell phone would work. And the overseer called and said, "Don't tell anybody till I've had time to tell the other guys so that I can tell them how the vote went." I said, "It's not a problem." I said, "When I leave here, this phone ain't going to work." And I didn't mean leave Cody. I meant leave the parking lot because it wasn't going to work at the parsonage. I walked down to the parsonage. The phone rang. The pastor said, "Somebody wants you on the phone." I got over on the phone. He said, "Hey, congratulations." The dude in Mobile already knew. I had 5 phone calls in the next 10 minutes to that house, and the overseer finally calls the house because he can't get my cell phone, and I got on the phone. He said, "You can tell anybody you want to." I said, "There's no reason whatsoever for me to even get on the phone." Glory. Church of God has a monkey mail list that runs real fast. The only thing I've ever seen faster and more efficient is Hondurans. We've been in the middle of nowhere and going to feed kids, and all of a sudden, you know, the next thing, people are coming out of the woodwork. Looked like nobody was there, and all of a sudden, look down the road, and there's hundreds walking out of the woods. They don't have telephones, so we don't know how to find out. So we come up with the idea there's ways to copy, you know, that you can communicate. There's telephone, telegraph, and telehonduran. Glory. Because you tell one, it gets all over the country real quick. They got food. Glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we do want to be mindful. Hispanics will be having service starting around 1 or a little after, so when you get through eating, if you come out this way, please don't make a lot of noise. If your children are out in the hall, take them back in with you and put them out the side door. So we won't affect them. They're going to have Sunday school first and then church, and we don't want to disturb them while they're having church. Amen? Amen. For God, who commanded the light to shine in darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. For we have troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed, perplexed, but not despaired, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. We ask, God, you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power and your love, your mercy. Use me, God, as an oracle of your presence. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand and say, I want to share it. I want to talk to you this morning. Subject I'm simply going to entitle Transferring the Treasure to the Next Generation. The Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Read a story of a man in the Mojave Desert, was about to die of thirst. He's making his way, and all of a sudden, he really thinks he sees a Messiah, a mirage, because in front of him, he sees one of those old-fashioned hand pump wells. Now, any of you old enough to remember the old-fashioned hand pump well? There is some important things about one of them. If you just start pumping it, you're not going to get anything out of it. One of my first lessons in life, my dad told me, he said, get some water out of that pump. And I went, and all of a sudden it did something called backlash. And my little bitty 10-year-old body took a plane ride without a plane. I was working on the thing. I landed on the ground. My dad said, now, son, watch this. You can kill yourself and get nothing, or you can learn to put something into it, and when you put the right things in it, you'll always get something out. And he gets a can, starts throwing water in the mouth of that thing, and eases it up and down until he primed that thing, and the next thing you know, you hear something go, and water started running out. And he just sat there and pumped water going everywhere, and I'm thinking, well, it didn't work that way for me, but I didn't prime the pump. This guy gets to the well, and it really is a well. And he looks, and there is a little jug with a cap on it, and he reaches down and gets it, and it says, hey, prime the pump, get all the water you want, but please refill the jug when you get through. And he pulled the cork out, and sure enough, there was water. It was hot, it was stale, and he had to make a choice. Did he take a chance that old rusty pump would work, or did he drink the water? And he finally decided, I really don't want to drink this water, don't know how I've been there. So he throws it in the pump, went to pumping, and it didn't do anything for a while. And finally, a little stream of water started coming. He pumped a little harder, and rusty water started coming out. He hit it a couple more licks, and good, fresh, cold water started coming out of the bottom of that well. And he drank his fill, and he filled that thing back up, put the cap on it, set it back down with a little note about how to get the well to work. And he put another note down and said, believe me, it works. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? That story has a lot to tell us about our relationship with God. The message of this story lets me know the responsibilities I have in this world is not just to myself, but to those that are going to come after me. There were men in days of old who paid a price in this world to get us where we are and to help us have what we have in the church world by giving up and sacrificing and making men so we could have something in the church world. And now we need to understand there's generations coming after us, if the Lord tarries, that's going to need the presence, the power, the glory of Almighty God to move in their life. And we need to walk so that they see the road and they see the way and they know the life that we have learned to know in the lifetime we've lived. When I came into the church, one of the great blessings I had was so many people there that were so sold out to God, it didn't matter. Listen, church, I don't do what I do because I have to. I do it because I want to. Hello? We came here and somebody said, my Lord, y'all into everything. That's the way we were at Buell. I thought that's the way you got in church. I didn't know it was just Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and hope everything made good so we could show up the next week and it'd be there. You ever figure out if somebody don't do something, there wouldn't be nothing here for you to come to on Sunday? How many of you like the food bank? Well, we don't need to keep doing it if y'all don't want it. Y'all see, Alex, y'all think I'm taking up nominations for people to work. That's right. I'm not going to do it. I like it, but I'm not getting involved. Do you realize the impact that food bank has on this community? But do you realize that if we don't keep doing things before the food bank gets here, nothing happens on the day of the food bank? If we don't get boxes and we don't prepare and we don't make preparation, nothing's going to happen on that day. Can I tell you one of the problems we have in the church world is that we show up on Sunday and we say, God bless me. Can I tell you that when Jesus Christ walked into the synagogue and begin to overthrow the tables, he wasn't as much mad as the guy selling the stuff as he was the people buying it, because they were not preparing to sacrifice. They were not preparing to worship. They'd run in by a dove. They'd run in by a bullock, or they'd run in by a lamb. They did nothing to prepare what they were going to give to God. And I wonder sometimes if God doesn't worry about us because we do nothing except show up at church, hear the first song we like, go, whoa, yeah, I feel it. Then you need to feel it every day of your life, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You need to live a life that is anointed in the power and the grace and the glory of Almighty God. And you need an iPad to quit shutting off. Glory. Listen, there are a couple of treasures that I want to pass on to you. First of all is the treasure of our faith. Jude said it this way, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful of me to write to you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to his condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Jude goes on to talk about some of the people that God put his wrath on. Sodom and Gomorrah and people like that who forgot who God was. You say, well, preacher, that's Old Testament. No, it's not. Jude's New Testament. I had somebody tell me, they're not in the Old Testament. I said, no, Jude is a New Testament writer. Hello? I was at Buell one time, and I got up there to preach, and I said, would somebody read for me? I want somebody to read Jude chapter 4. And this one boy jumped up and said, I'll get it. Name one chapter. When he got to it, he sat back down and just looked at me like he's going to shoot me. Glory. But let me give you something that really relates to today. 2 Timothy 3, we know the first part of that. About in the last days, people would be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, out of control. Church, we're living in that world. But listen, if you read on down to the 12th verse in that third chapter, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We're so afraid somebody's going to look at us and say, you're a Christian. I remember reading about John Wesley, how he felt bad every day if somebody didn't say he was a Christian. There was one day he got in the middle of a bridge and started praying and stayed there and prayed till a bunch of men came and started throwing rocks at him because they wanted him off the bridge because they wasn't walking by him while he was praying. And one of them hit him with a rock and he stood up and said, thank you, sir. I am saved and I'm on my way to heaven, and now I know it because you have persecuted me. Glory. And nowadays we're like, somebody's going to persecute me. Somebody's going to make fun of me. So I'm going to heaven. I don't know what they're going to do. Come on, church. Say, what are you getting at? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. Every time I preach, I want to instill sound doctrine into people. I'm going to tell you something, church. I have people tell me, say, I don't like the way you preach. You make me feel bad. So, if you'd start living right, maybe I wouldn't make you feel bad. You're going to lay out and drink on Saturday night. You ain't going to feel good listening to me preach because drinking's wrong. I don't care if they, listen, we got people in this church tells folks it's all right to drink. Don't look at me like that because I have seen them do it. Heard it with my own ears. We've got people that'll tell folks it's all right to cuss. Oh, no, them profanity, that's not no real bad word. That's something somebody made bad. No, it's profanity. It's slang words that the Bible said you ain't supposed to use. It's called corrupt communication. And I want to stay with the faith that I received. That means I got to live right. I got to walk right. Come on, church. I am sick and tired of a generation telling me their rights instead of confessing their sins. And I think it's time we make people realize God didn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, God didn't change for the 21st century. And it's time we understand if we're going to make it, we line up to what he says, or we don't have a shot. We have preachers preaching this abundant grace. No matter what you do, it's all right. God just poured blood over it. That's not what I read. My Bible said you got to repent, do your first works over. If you don't repent, nothing's applied. Repentance means you turn away from. It means you don't just go back doing it and repent again. Come on, church. That's just smile. Y'all weren't expecting this on Pentecost, was you? I told you I didn't sleep last night. Some of you are going to be buying me a light bulb. Run a drop cord to his house so he sleep when the lights go out. Glory. Listen, I could care less what the guy on the other side of town's preaching. You can find somebody to tell you what you want to hear. I can give you the address of the churches. There's one of them on YouTube said, I don't care what I do after they get saved. I'm still going to heaven. Honey, sin ain't going. If God could not look on his own son, a sinless lamb who had the sins of my life and yours on him because of that sin, who are you that you're going to stand in the presence of God with sin in your life and think he's going to turn a blind eye and say, it's okay? It doesn't happen that way. What's going to happen is what the scripture said, few there be that find their way in, and many there be that are going to end up going to an eternity without God. Why? Because we've changed the gospel to read like we want it to. Listen, church, we're living in a world when people have moved to a compromised truth. Pure theology has to be passed on to the next generation. Our kids need to know the real truth. Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them. Okay. Diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest in the way, and as thou liest down, and when thou risest up. There's got to be a transfer of truth from one generation to the other. Hey, listen. If faith didn't get you, how about this one? A transfer of commitment. Huh? Thessalonians tells me this, that I need to be committed. Revelations 2:9 says, I know thy works, the tribulation, the poverty, that thou art rich. He says, you're in poverty, but you're rich. Why? Because you have God. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some into prison, and may be tried, and shall have tribulation 10 days. But thou faithful unto death, I will give thee a crown of life. Do you hear what he said? He said, don't worry about what people say about you in this world, what they do to you in this world. All you got to know is you may not have the best day the rest of your life, but there's a crown of righteousness. Listen, Paul was in a hole in the ground when he wrote those words. Hey, I've run the race. I've kept the faith, and there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Not only me, but all those that make it in. It's all about finishing, not starting. Commitment. First, we have to have a commitment of prayer. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks for the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good and abstain from the appearance of evil. Well, I can drink. Not if you look like you're committing sin. Because he just said, stay away from even looking like you. Church, we got folks that'll sit in a bar with a bunch of people drinking and act like everything's all right. Now, if God sent you there, that's fine. I sat in an alley one night with some guys, one afternoon with some guys passing a bottle of wine around. But the only way they'd sit and listen to me was I had that wine. I didn't drink with them, but I carried three of them out of that alley with me, and they ended up getting saved. But we have to understand there's some places we don't go because of who we are. One of our pastors put an evangelist up in Wetumpka, the best motel down there. I'm going to tell you something. If I'd been preaching for him, he'd had to put me in a pup tent in the middle of a cornfield because I wouldn't have stayed at the Wind Creek Park, Porch Creek Indian Saloon, gambling hall, and then walk out there talking about, I'm a preacher. Hello? See, I got some of you mad because you've been going down there. Christians don't gamble, I'm sorry. I'll invest my 10% in God because it's a guaranteed return. Glory. Well, you can't win what I can. I can't lose what you can either. Glory. Come on, church. They're not in business to make you rich. I promise you that. They're making money or they wouldn't be there. That's good preaching. This is, in case you haven't figured it out, this is a, you know, across the board, aggravate everybody this morning. Glory. It's like a shotgun blast. I figure on hitting everybody one good time. But the truth's the truth. We need to make a commitment to prayer, to seeking the face of God, to walking in his presence and his power. And notice what will happen. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless under the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he say? He said God's going to sanctify you if you'll live for him. And then he's going to keep you holy. Well, that's what that's supposed to mean. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Well, that's just your reasonable service. Your reasonable service to God for the favor of getting to go to heaven is to live right. Hello? That's good stuff. See, the problem we got, we want to rename sin so we can make stuff pliable. Folks, I can eat tuna fish, but I don't like it. Well, you can name it anything you want to. I still know it's tuna fish. I've had tuna fish salad. I've had tuna fish casserole. I still knew it was tuna fish. You can dress sin up any way you want to. It's still sin. You can call it an affair instead of adultery. You can call it chemical dependence instead of being a dope head. But you're still wrong. And it doesn't matter what you call it. It's still sin. It's going to take you away from God. You can call it research and be looking at porn. I don't know what you're researching. Commitment to generosity. Luke 6:31, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to your bosom. For the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you. Church, do you realize that how you give is how you're going to receive? If you're a penny pincher when it comes to giving to God, don't expect him to be pouring out no bank account to you. You got to go crazy every once in a while. Come on, church. Ask my wife. I've gone crazy. There's been several times in our life she's looked at me and she said, I hope it's God. But you know what? Never regret it. one time that I've ever done anything that God told me to do. I made the mistake of cashing my check and dummy didn't put it in the bank, carried it to church with me. All of it. They're taking up the offering. I got my dollar out. God spoke to me and said, get everything you got in your pocket. I'm going, he ain't going to help me. I just cashed my check from last week. That plate got three rolls by me before I prayed through. I called him back up there, whooped all that money out. Priest said, what are you doing? I said, Lord said, give it. I hope it's God. Y'all may not understand it. We were living in a trailer. We were about out of gas. We were sleeping in the kitchen so we wouldn't run out of gas. Had the stove on to heat. We were eating chili, a can at a time, between the two of us. We had a car payment coming up and a trailer payment coming up, and if they ain't made, we were going to miss one. Miss two, they take both of them. Then we walk in and living in a pup tent somewhere. And I just took everything I made, throwed it in there. I left to go to Revival, a little old bitty church. I think we got $150 that week. We was rocking the bank. Glory. But I had a lady hand me some money, and she had another lady hand her. Two older ladies just said, God told me to give you this. Man, we got back home. We paid both the car payment and the house payment. We was able to go out and get a steak, buy two more cases of chili. We were back in business. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's time some of you realize, listen, here's the best part of the story. We're sitting there and the furnace kicked on, and I jumped up trying to turn it off, going, oh no, the furnace kicked on. That'll smoke all the gas out of the tank. And then I thought, it's not even supposed to have a pilot light lit. And I go outside and the gas tank is full. It's at 80%, and that's all they'll ever put in a propane tank. But it's full. I come back in, and I finally get a hold of the guy the next day, and he said, I hope you don't mind, but the guy that paid for the gas slipped the lock on the door so I could get in and light that light so I could turn it all on. He said, that way you'd have plenty of gas. And I looked at him. I said, well, who was it? He said, he swore me to secrecy, and I cannot tell you who it was. All I know is we had a tank of gas, and we had car payments and house. Why? Because we were faithful to God, and we were faithful to the generosity and committed to doing what God. Come on, church. But now, here's where some of you are going to lose me. You got to be committed to the harvest. I'm going to hurry because I'm not going to preach much longer. Luke 14:23. And the Lord said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be full. He didn't say, preacher, you get out, ride around your car, and beg everybody to come. He didn't say, members, call the preacher and remind them who they need to go see. He said, sheep begat sheep. And if the shepherd's begatting sheep, something's wrong because it's perverted. Come on, church, smile at me. Some of you, I can't believe he said that. It's true. Operates the same in everything. Two of the same kind get together, have kids. Well, we need some sheep to start having some kids. Some of y'all need to start talking to your neighbors instead of calling saying who needs to go see them. Some of y'all need to start getting out to your kids and getting them to church. Well, I've asked them 100 times. Ask them 100 more. Pay them if you have to. Come on, church. I ain't paying nobody to go to church. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You get them to church and get saved, it'll be worth the cash. I messed up one time, bus ministry, and got up on the bus and announced them kids. I said, hey, everybody brings their parents. Next Sunday, I'm going to give $5 a parent. I forgot to say per family. I had 4 kids and 1 family got mom and dad to come. They want that $10 a pop. I don't know if y'all understand that. That's a bunch of money in 74, 75. I went to the pastor and I said, look, we had 5 families this morning show up, parents. I said, I need some help. He said, did you ask me about that before you did it? I said, no. He said, thanks for the donation. Five families. Three moms and dads got saved on Sunday morning. Two moms and dad were back on Sunday night and got saved. Two of those men took over my bus. And I moved on. A couple of weeks ago at senior adult retreat in Alabama at Camp Utopia, an older gentleman was sitting at the table. He said, "Remember when you got my girls and took them to church? And you paid them to get me to church and I got saved." Amen. And I'm sitting there thinking 40 years later and I'm still getting paid for that little bit of cash I threw out back in those days. Come on, church. Amen. You say, "What are you talking about?" That's payday, church. Come on. It ain't about me getting a big paycheck. It's about somebody saying, "Hey, I remember when I was lost and you found a way to get me out of where I was and help me find my way to God. And God came into my life and the rest of my life, I'm going to live for him because of you." And that's what it's all about. We got to get committed to the harvest. Read the Song of Solomon. Solomon had 700 wives, 355 concubines, and hated and despised every one of them because he married them to make a contract. He went and found him an ugly woman and married her. Read the Song of Solomon. Chapter 8, verse 8, she's ugly. It says it in the book. Her brother said if she was a door, we'd cover her with silver. She's a wall, we'd cover her with cedar. Our little sister hath no breast. She ain't got no figure to straight up and down like 6 o'clock. Can't get no money out of her in a dowry. And who shows up but the richest king, the richest man in the world, and marries her and writes songs about her, about how beautiful she is. Why? Because she loved him for who he was, not for what he could give her, not for what he had. We got people in the church that don't understand. You don't love God because he's going to heal you. You don't love God because he's going to put money in your pocket. You love God because you love him. And notice when she got back to Jerusalem, she is the only one lived in his palace. Everybody else had their own house, but she lived with him. She came up missing one day. Where did they find her? In the field. She was concerned with the harvest because it was important. I want to tell you, church, it's time some of us made a commitment to the harvest and said, "I've got friends that are going to die and go to hell if I don't get committed." Glory. Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore, teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I'm fixing to close. I got more sermon to preach and I'll get to it later. Commitment to a lost and dying world. Say, "Wait a minute, preach, it's Pentecost Sunday. And ye shall receive power. Have the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you will be witnesses, not silent bystanders, witnesses." Peter could not even tell a little girl about Christ, but he gets anointed with the Holy Spirit and tells 3,000 folks that he is the Lord, and they give their heart to him. Peter couldn't stand up to a small crowd, but he stood up to the whole world and said, "I'm not even worthy to die like him, but he's still your God." And in his dying breath, he said, "Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, is your Lord and Savior." When we get the anointing of Pentecost in our lives, we commit ourselves to the harvest. I've got a God that will use us to see people saved. It's not just preachers. God is the Lord of the harvest. He just needs workers in the field. And friend, I'm telling you something. The harvest is ripe. There are people around us hurting, looking for answers, and we have it. We just need to open up and start telling them about it. Come on, church. I don't care what they're talking about. You can find a way to work it around to God. You watch a baseball game and say, "Man, what had a great home run?" I said, "You hear about the home run the prodigal son made?" Huh? You can't just walk up and say, "Hey, you're going to die and go to hell." They already know that. They don't need you to tell them that. What they need you to do is get to them so you can tell them about a God that loves them. and you can win them. You might have to be a little bit of thought into it. Although I take that back. Man in Sarah Land, Satsuma Church of God, called Go Leaf now, won 200-something people to the Lord at one time. I don't know how many he's won now. Not a Bible scholar. Brother Curtis Silcox was teaching a class on witnessing, and this guy couldn't remember the A, the B, the C, or the D. He still can't. But he can win people because he fell in love with the idea. His first convert was a guy waxing a truck down with beer ice down on the road and a cigar hanging out of his mouth and his shirt off and tattoos everywhere. I've met that man, all 6'5", 300 pounds of him. We're talking about a guy that's 5'4", and 140 pounds soaking wet with help. Curtis is walking down the street with him, and he come up missing, and Curtis looked and seen the guy, and he's back there with his finger in this man's face, and that guy's looking at him like he fixed to kill him. Curtis said, I run back and said he was standing there and said he's going, look, I don't remember A, I don't remember B, or C, or D, but you're going to die and go to hell. We need to pray right now. Brother Ivy said, that was the weirdest thing that ever happened to me in my life. And he said, I was standing there waxing my truck. My wife had left me. My family was falling apart. My life was gone. And said, I looked at him and said, you know, you're right. Said, I throwed that cigar down. We knelt down in front of that truck, and all my neighbors watched me give my heart to God. And he said, my family's back together. My life got turned around. It was all because of that man taking time to talk to me. And he said, I should have hit him when he said I was going to hell. But he's acting like he didn't want me to go. That's what it's all about. Stand with me all over the house. Transferring that earthen vessel, that treasure that God has given us. Transferring our faith, transferring our commitment. Father, I thank you this morning for your love, for your mercy, the power of your grace. God, have your way in our lives. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. God, have your way.